the young woman ran back, she was completely healed. And I didn't do any more work for her, but the work that I did for myself reached out and seemed to finish off my work. And my son that night was involved in a car crash, a very serious car crash. And I found out later that the car crash happened at the time that I'd had this revelation. And I've often thought, if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't changed my route and the way I was thinking, how disastrous it could be, because my son walked away from it. Although the car was a complete write-off, my son, who was only 15 at the time, walked away from it. Now that was a great lesson to me. It's like a beacon light to me. It helped me in later years to forgive my husband. And I had to go on trying to forgive him even after I was divorced from him. I knew I had to do it for me. And when I was able to forgive him, I really loved him like I'd never loved him before. And I still do, and think of him with love. So that's so important. And here are some verses that I work with when I'm thinking about church. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, were with a body. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Without love, we are nothing, and without love, we can't heal ourselves or others. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, it seems so impossible for me to learn to love a certain person or a certain set of people, know that you are God's child by reflection. So you reflect divine love. It is your nature to love. You are God's loving child. You are loved. You are loving. And you are lovable. And you only know how to love. So the suggestion that you don't know how to love is a lie. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Let us know that we are knowing that every day and praying for our movement. The Christian Science movement is infinitely more important than our human views of one another. It's infinitely more important, and we owe it to our leader to keep it a healthy movement. And when you have a healthy movement, you'll have healthy movement in your body as well. So I pray that you can all learn to do that. Thank you. So let's just summarize what we've been talking about today. We're talking about the poem. It says, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. And what do you want to be? What way do you want people to remember you? As a stumbling block or a stepping stone. So whatever problem you're having right now, you can ask yourself, do I want to use this problem as a stepping stone or a stumbling block? We talked about loneliness in the world, and that's really a very big problem. It's a big problem even for our young people, who seem to find it difficult to meet the right sort of company. And I think that we should be praying for our children much more, because they're so precious, and they're the Christian Scientists of tomorrow. And we really have to be praying for them that they'll be guided rightly, and that they can't be mesmerized by any form of animal magnetism that would draw them away from the Christ that they really are, which is a true identity. We've talked about death and the overcoming of grief. And if we can do that in our own lives, we'll overcome the world's belief in it. Because it seems now that life is so unimportant. You hear of on the television, for instance, people with a serious illness with cancer or something, and how they're preparing to die, and how everybody else around them is preparing them to die. Well, what are we doing to prepare them to live? And that's a big stumbling block. And so many young people are committing suicide, for instance, and it's as if life had no meaning. And we've got to see the importance of life, how wonderful it is to be alive. And do we see everything as a miracle? Or do we think miracles don't happen anymore? Well, a miracle happens every time a flower unfolds, every time the sun sets. It happens in so many ways every day. And we need to see that and appreciate it a lot more. We've talked about Christ Jesus, and how he was a stepping stone and a way sure for us all, the greatest exemplar that ever was, and that Mrs. Eddy followed in his footsteps so closely that she became a great example for the world. And nobody can say that she's just an ordinary woman. She was very extraordinary, and she certainly is a great stepping stone that we have as an example. And the example is in the healing works that she did and the words that she has written. It's not so much in her personal life that we don't have to follow that, but we follow the healing that she did and the way that she healed and so forth. And we've talked about my own personal healing, and I talk about that not for self-glorification, but to just set the record right. I've heard so many rumors about what's been happening to me and so forth, and people who think that I got put outside the church for certain reasons, and that didn't happen. So I wanted you to know it's straight from me. And then lastly, we talked about loving your enemies and about praying for all the members of our church. Because even if somebody is doing something wrong, don't they need our prayers
rather than our criticism. So we have to pray for them if we really want to pray for us. We can't leave them outside. And I've done this so often for the IRA. I've prayed for the IRA in Ireland, much against my wishes, but it's helped me to grow so much and enable me to forgive people much more easily, no matter what they've done. And so each of you can do that too. And I would like to see you doing that and would like to hear reports of how you're praying and living and loving as you really are God's beloved child.